I would say, you know, when in doubt, go consult the facts and don't just think you know something in this environment.
Hey, folks, Bill Sheridan here. And I know what you're saying. Am I crazy or didn't you just post a new episode of this show yesterday? And no, you're not crazy. And yes, we did. We got a special edition of Future Proof for you this week. Two for the price of one this week. Pretty good deal, right? I mean, all these shows are free to begin with, but still. So why the additional episode this week? I can sum it up in three letters, PPP, right? That's shorthand for the Paycheck Protection Program. You've probably heard of it. You may be applying for it. And if you are, you probably have a few questions and you're not alone. So real quick, the Paycheck Protection Program is a provision of the CARES Act. That's that massive coronavirus relief bill that was signed into law on March 27th. The PPP is a loan that's designed to be an incentive for small businesses to keep their workers on the payroll. And the idea here is, and I'm quoting directly from the Small Business Administration, is that, quote, the SBA will forgive loans if all employees are kept on the payroll for 8 weeks and the money is used for payroll, rent, mortgage, interest, or utilities. Lenders began processing loan applications on April 3rd, and questions and concerns started to arise almost immediately. So I wanted to talk to a couple of folks who might be able to put all of this in the proper context and maybe provide an answer or two along the way, or three. And I think I've got the right guests to do that. They are Eric Askerson, President and CEO of CPA.com, which is the technology arm of the American Institute of CPAs, and Tom Hood, who is, full transparency here, my boss, and the President and CEO of the Maryland Institute of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute. Sorry, that's the Maryland Association of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute. Geez, I've been with them for 20 years. You think I'd get that right by now? Anyway, Eric is going to give us some perspective on the massive and almost unprecedented legislative undertaking that it took to get this bill passed. And he also has some recommendations for the types of documents that lenders are looking for under various circumstances during the loan application process. And Tom, he's going to talk a bit about the role that CPAs can play in all of this. And he has some guidance of his own for folks in the profession as the rest of this crisis plays out. So let's get right to it, shall we? First up is Eric Askerson. Tom Hood follows. Here are my conversations with Eric and Tom. So Eric, thanks for being here. This all came together really, really quickly, this entire loan application process through the SBA. And it's just, you know, I think the latest example of just how quickly everything is moving with regards to, you know, not only the pandemic, but regulators' response to it. Set some context for us here. How did we get to this point? Can you illustrate exactly what the profession was working on and how quickly all this came together?
Yeah, thanks, Bill, and thanks for having me on the podcast today. There's so much going on, and these times are so unprecedented. And it really is helpful to reflect on the journey, and the journey has been rapid. The CARES Act was signed into law on Friday, March 27th. And that week, that was a very busy week in Washington, D.C. The AICPA was active. I know a lot of the state societies in Maryland were active trying to help make that piece of legislation as effective as it could be to, you know, support, in particular, the small businesses. I mean, it's a tremendous piece of legislation. You know, $2 trillion, 880 pages. So that happened on Friday, March 27th, it was signed by the president. And then Treasury and the SBA, you know, started, you know, getting to work and saying, okay, they have to execute on this. And then Monday and Tuesday of the following week, they put out the forms in the process. They started describing the process of how these applications would be set up. And then just last Friday, which is, I think it was April 3rd. That's when the applications went live. But the night before they went live, Treasury put out another 30-page document of guidance. So I want to talk a little bit about the different stakeholders and what they've been going through over the last 10 days. But that's just kind of looking at what happened in 10 days to get us to where we are right now.
Yeah, it's really been unprecedented, I think, from almost unprecedented anyway, from a regulatory legislative point of view. What have you been hearing from members since the application process began? What kind of things are you hearing from CPAs?
Well, I mean, we've been hearing a lot from CPAs and the members. Probably, I don't know if there's ever been a time, there hasn't been a time that we have heard as much as we're hearing from them right now. I mean, the pressures are very high and the desire to help is very high. And this really is a historic time for the 44,000 firms in the United States to play their trusted advisor role. There's no one who knows the small businesses better than them. And they need to help the small businesses navigate this act. So the firms want to get their arms around it. They want to understand it. And they were trying to do that as soon as the bill was passed. So over the past week, saying, okay, what do I need to understand so I can advise my clients? And then it went live on Friday. And now you've got two things going on. One is you need to play that, you know, trusted advisor role and look at the different buckets of relief. There's lots of buckets of relief. And I know we've actually been talking about the Paycheck Protection Program, the $350 billion small business relief portion of it. But there are many other elements in it, in the CARES Act, that businesses can take advantage of. So the firm's got to say, okay, what are my different options for my client? And then when they select the option, which in most of the cases is going to be the Paycheck Protection Program, how do I go about applying for it, putting in place the right documents, getting approval, getting the funding, getting the compliance? So you asked me, you know, what are we hearing from the firm? We're hearing, you know, help me understand this. Help me understand, you know, all of the pieces of the act. Help me understand how I go about assisting my client with the application process. And oh, by the way, we're having all these problems. Can you help me out with what's going on with the banking community? Can you help me out with these things that I think are not clarified in the bill with the government officials? And I'm also needing to work in a way, in a rapid way, like I never have before with the payroll processors. So information and help me with all these problems that are coming at me really fast.
So information is key, obviously, for CPAs to first understand this legislation so that they can then in turn help their clients and customers take advantage of the relief that's offered there. Where should folks turn to get that type of information to get a really good solid understanding of exactly what is being offered here?
Well, I think we're putting in place the AICPA, a resource center for the Paycheck Protection Program as well as the broader CARES Act, and that's a great resource. There's going to be lots of really good resources. I mean, this is a business act like no other one we've seen before. So there's a lot of good quality information that's being put up. So I think leverage the AICPA, leverage some of the other resources. But what we're really trying to do now is you need to simplify things. You need to kind of simplify things and provide clarity. And over the past couple of days, we just worked on putting in place some recommendations on what are the documents that you need to get in place for your clients to apply for the Paycheck Protection Program relief with a lender. So you know, you want to look at everything, but then you want to say, okay, what exactly do I need to know to implement this for my client?
Can you kind of go over some of those recommendations? I mean, what should firms be telling their clients in terms of, you know, the types of documents that they ought to be providing lenders as they go through this application process?
Sure. And I think what's happening out there is there's a lot of misinformation. So you're asking about information. There's misinformation and there's a wide spectrum of what's occurring in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And the bankers are the ones that are, you know, front and center and having to really implement and execute on the distribution of these loans. So what's occurring right now is the banks, just like the firms, are coming up to speed on this. And some bankers are just trying to determine what should be the set of documents that they want to have for the application. And so you've got some firms who are saying, my banker's asking me for a P&L and other things, a long list. And then there's some bankers that have a very short list. So what we've done is said, what is a best practice list? What's the AICPA recommended list based on our understanding of the act? And that's what we put forward. So that's, I think, the thing what the firms need to say is, okay, and I'll go through a couple of those. I now have clarity here. And just to actually have some understanding for some of the banks, maybe not having clarity yet. I think we need to appreciate what they're doing. They're trying to get their systems integrated into the SBA. And some of those systems are not working as they should. So the bankers are working on getting their systems working. And at the same time, they have never really been asked to do underwriting in this fashion. So then it's not like it's a standard underwriting process. So now they have to say, okay, what do I need here to stand this up from a document standpoint? So you need to have understanding with what's going on there with your lender and then say, okay, let me try to explain to you what I'm seeing as a best practice. So it's really not that complex when you start looking at what is the document set, because the document set is all about the payroll report. And we're even saying this master payroll report. So with a master payroll report, for an employer, you potentially could get all the documents. And there's cases where the master payroll report will not deliver everything. But in some cases, the payroll company, in their master payroll report, can get you the tax forms, it can get you the compensation data you need, and it even can get you the healthcare and retirement information if that client is using the payroll company for that. And in some cases, they are. So here you could have a client that has a payroll service in place and they are using that service for their healthcare and their retirement, and you'll be able to go to them and get a master payroll report. And what we're doing at the AICPA and CPA.com level is working with that ecosystem. We've actually launched this AICPA coalition made up of the payroll processes. We have over 20 companies now in this coalition representing over 2.5 million businesses and about 30 million employees. And we're working with them so they all agree with us on what data you need. And then so with this master payroll report, you need the quarterly 941, the 940. You need 12 months. You need 12 months of data to do the average to calculate the average monthly payroll cost, which is the determiner of the eligible loan amount. And you've got a list of elements that you need to take into account with the compensation. You need to do calculations. So everyone's talking calculator. So you have the two things you're going to hear a lot about is what's the document set and how do I do the appropriate calculations. And once again, the payroll companies are putting in place calculators. The AICPA has a calculator, and you use those calculators to make sure you're including the right elements. So you know, I kind of gave a little bit of an explanation of, you know, why there's some misunderstanding with the banks and kind of high level on what is in the employer document document set. And as I think just over the coming days, Bill, this is just going to become, things will get better because we'll be able to explain this quicker. There'll be more capabilities stood up. I am seeing things from some of the biggest software players on what they're going to be standing up in the coming days. And I think that's going to help a lot as well.
No, when you, I mean, consider like what we talked about at the beginning, how quickly this all came together. B, the fact that there are so many different players involved with this type of program, all trying to figure out exactly what they need to do and when. And C, all of that having to happen in such a short period of time. It seems to me that obviously there are going to be bumps in the road while everybody figures this out, and as you said, I think as time goes on, it sounds like the process will begin to smooth itself out. Would you agree?
Yes, I think it's well said, and I think right now it's very foggy out there. It's like, it's not we're not at war, but in some ways we're at war with the virus, but it's like the fog of war here. What's happening? And I think what we're going to have to do is just put things in buckets. I mean, the real three things that the trusted advisor needs to do is what options or buckets of relief do I have for my clients? Which one is the best? And then when I decide which one is the best, how do I execute that for them? So that's actually really quickly three things. What options, which is the best, how do I execute it? Then there's going to be a fourth one, which is going to be how do I comply with whatever the requirements are to get, in particular with the PPP program, the forgiveness of the loan. And a lot of people call it a grant, but you have to do some elements to make sure you get that forgiveness. So those are four things. So four things there. Once again, what are the options? Which is the best option? How do I execute it? And how do I do the compliance? So that's those four. Then you say, okay, now let me just dig into the implementation. There's two big elements of that. What information do I need? What is the required document set, and how do I do the calculations per the act and get that right? And those are the two things that there's a lot of pressure on right now. And then the third one there probably is just, getting the application into the bank. But I think just us all, you starting at that high level and say, okay, this is the high level, this is what I need to do. And then, let me get for a larger firm, get the experts in each one of those categories. It's a smaller firm, leverage some of your partners and some of your ecosystem. And I could talk a little bit about that, but I think that's where we're at right now. And even how I just described that, the way I can describe that is because I've been around a lot of people over the past few days and we're all thinking about it, and you just learn from one another and then you're able to distill it and explain it how I just did.
A lot of people's heads are spinning right now. And yours and mine are probably included in that from time to time. It's certainly an unprecedented period of time for us. What kind of words of advice would you give folks in the profession, who are feeling a little, like all of us, who are feeling a little bit overwhelmed with not only the speed with which this pandemic is spreading, but the speed with which all these changes are being flying at them? What kind of words of advice would you give folks in this era?
It's a great question. And I think it's like a lot of things in life. When you want to assume a lot of positive intent out there, and the government officials, they've been working day and night to put this act together. And now these three groups here, the firms, the banks, and the payroll processors are going to execute it. And everybody's working hard at getting their arms around it. And there's going to be mistakes. And there's going to be things that don't go well. Try to help those other stakeholders do their job while you do your job. And keep in mind that what we're really fortunate to have is we're in a profession that are knowledge workers, and we are able to continue to work right now in most cases. And we're in a position to really help out these businesses that have been shut down by the virus. So it's like, you know, give positive intent with these other groups. There's a lot of frustrations going on, a lot of people working on trying to get clarity. But I think if we all work together, and that's what I've been thinking a lot about as I meet with the banks, as I meet with the payroll processors, as I meet with the firms, is trying to understand their position and not just go to them with, you know, what they're not doing right. Understand what are they up against. And when I talk to them, they're up against a lot. So that's what I think right now. It'll be very helpful. And I think it is happening that everybody works together, has flexibility and patience for the others as they come up to speed on this very, very important piece of legislation, which is going to, I think, play a huge role in getting, you know, the businesses stabilized.
We've referred to CPAs for years as, you know, the most trusted business advisors out there. And you know, that's a phrase that we've used so often I'd say that it's become cliche, but it's just something that we kind of toss off here and there as a way of describing the profession accurately as it is. But I think, you know, now we're at the point where this notion of being a trusted advisor to our clients and customers, there may have been no more important time in history than what we are looking at right now for us to embrace that role.
I couldn't agree more. I think this, you know, history at times creates moments, and this is a moment for the CPA profession to do what you just said, to play that trusted advisor role, to help advise. And it's going to be a tough road. I think in the coming days, there's going to be a lot of frustrations. There's going to be businesses that can't get their loan and they can't get it processed. And we're going to hear stories of how this is causing a business to potentially shut down. And we're going to have to, you know, work quickly to help resolve those types of matters. And there's going to be a lot of finger pointing. There's going to be a lot of finger pointing. And there already is a lot of finger pointing going on. And that happens at times in the media. So yes, back to, you know, your kind of, you know, point there. This is a unique time in history for the firms to play the trusted advisor role, while there's all this anxiety and pressure and noise and misinformation. So this is something that will challenge all of us. And the days aren't long enough. That's, yeah, I say one thing I've been saying is, Every day is a Monday. I don't know if the weekends have left us. Does it feel that way to you?
Oh, it's been crazy. We've been full-time remote now for about 3 weeks, and I don't know why I was expecting this, but I almost thought, okay, you know, things are going to kind of slow down with everybody spread out and working in isolation almost. But it's been the exact opposite. We've been busier than we have ever been. And it shouldn't surprise me given the time that we're in. But how are you doing, by the way? You, your family, everyone well?
Yeah, well, thanks, Bill. It's a great question to open every meeting with. That we're all well. My four girls are doing well with the homeschooling, and we're working a lot. But it's in some ways, it's nice to be all together.
And how's the AICPA team holding out? I know, you know, you guys have been, like you said, busier than you've ever been. How what's the mindset there?
I think the mindset is it's one that, this is a moment, just like you were saying, it's a moment for the firms. It's the moment for organizations that have leadership roles to stand up and play an important role. So I think that's how the AICPA is feeling. And when you look at just the, you know, the workload and what's going on in the family situation, I think there's things we also try to keep in perspective with that. But I think we're fortunate to be able to make an impact. With that said, like every organization and every family, you're trying just to keep perspective and balance.
Well, Eric, thanks for the guidance. Thanks for your time. Much appreciated on both fronts. I appreciate you being here.
Well, thanks. It was great being here as well. Look forward to joining you again sometime soon.
So, Tom, Eric and I were talking about kind of the unprecedented speed with which all of this has come together in a really short period of time. Have you ever seen anything like this from a regulatory point of view?
No, there's nothing even close. I mean, we lived through Sarbanes-Oxley with the Enron crisis. We lived through the Dodd-Frank Act during the 2008 credit meltdown. But nothing, the scope and scale and speed of this whole thing, from the virus to the financial response, is nothing like it.
It really has been kind of unbelievable. What kind of things are you hearing from Maryland CPAs with regard to these types, not just the regulatory stuff, but just in general? I mean, what's the tone of the stuff that you're hearing from members these days?
I think our members, you have to put this in context, that the CPA profession was already in the middle of tax season, which is a really, really busy time anyhow.
Yep.
And then this thing got slammed on top. In addition to all of the social and work-related activities of going completely virtual, those kind of things. So what we're hearing is the profession absorbing the magnitude of all this and trying to make sense of it and figure out how to carry on in the best way. So a couple of things we're hearing, I mean, from the firm standpoint, they're concerned mostly about their clients and the economy. They're also scrambling to help the small business clients to be able to take advantage of some of these recovery assets, which, recovery programs, if you will. And it's not easy because those programs were put online so fast that there's a whole lot of devil in the details that's missing, they're frustrated that they don't have, and they're trying to get more information about it. And it's funny because I did a piece for one of the Leadership Academy grads and who was feeling overwhelmed by all of this. And one of the things that it became evident that our profession right now is like the first responders to the financial crisis. We're nowhere near the level of a healthcare worker or a doc or anyone in the medical field. But there's two pieces of this. The virus is the medical crisis. The shutdown of the economy has created this massive financial crisis. And I said this to our members recently, is that everything coming out of Congress in the first three relief packages, COVID 1, 2, and 3, the CARES Act being 3, and now they're talking about COVID 4 when Congress comes back in at the end of this month. Well, interesting enough, Bill, every one of these solutions is running through the accounting, payroll, and tax systems.
Yeah.
Which CPAs, we always say we're experts in the language of business. Well, that expertise is being called on more than ever right now.
No kidding. And your point, Tom, that there's so much happening so quickly, and there's so much information flying around, and not all of it is reliable or factual, or where should folks in our profession be looking for information? Where should they be paying attention as they try to learn more about this stuff?
So we would say three major sources. First of all, you can go right to the law. You can look at the CARES Act itself. You can go to Treasury where they're interpreting it, and the SBA. Those are the three big parts of the government that are working on this stuff. That's one source. Go to the source. The second idea would be go to your association. We're doing our best to only put out things that we know and can verify. We're now, as you're helping curate it. We're putting time and almost time stamps. We're putting date stamps on everything because what you saw yesterday might be completely different today.
Right.
So we're trying to keep that up to date, and we're cooperating with the national organization, the AICPA. So our CPA associations are designed to give you accurate and trustworthy information about how we should be responding as CPA. So I'd say that's where we would say start. But even that, you won't believe this. I just got a note from our legislative representative in Annapolis that said one of the Maryland senators told him that their CPA said the association is advising, meaning us, is advising members to not help businesses get SBA loans.
What?
Now, you know, because you're publishing all the things we're talking about.
Wait a minute.
Did we ever say anything close to that? The reality is no, but we did talk about the idea of agent fees in this SBA process versus an engagement that the CPA would take to help a business apply. And we talked about the reasons why that was. And one of our members, probably talking to another member, you know, might be one of those 3 degrees, came up with the wrong idea. So that's an example of this. I call it this is a misinformation virus that spreads almost as fast as the real virus.
It's like that game where somebody whispers in your ear and you whisper into the next person's ear and so forth. And by the time you get to the end, the message is completely different.
You know? Yeah. So I would say, you know, when in doubt, go consult the facts and don't just think you know something in this environment. And I think that's a big one. The other thing I would say, Bill, that this is the chance for our profession. CPAs have been talking about this now for a couple of years, but the pivot to be advisors. Every small business needs a really good, trusted advisor right now, and the CPA is uniquely qualified to be that. Some CPAs might have to brush up on cash flow and projections and some of those tools. But the reality is every small business needs a plan. And the plan isn't just to get the money from the SBA, because then there's a post plan which says, how do you make sure it gets forgiven properly and you account for it right? And then there's going to be tax implications on the year after that when things are forgiven and you're not. So in other words, there's a longer term planning window here. Obviously, every CPA has to get the small business through the immediate financial crisis. But once you can get the business to stability, the idea of helping them project and maximize continued things, there's going to be more relief probably. And every one of those things is going to impact accounting, tax, and payroll systems again. So that's where we have to be, I think, vigilant and be thinking about the future. Many CPAs are forgiving their immediate fees or working out ways to help the business and figure out, you know, when they can get paid afterwards. They're doing a lot to support the small business community through this crisis. And it's, you know, taking a toll on them because they still have to get through taxes, which will be the July 15th deadline now. And then after that deadline, they're going to have to hit, I think it's going to be the August deadline when the forgiveness part of the PPP would kick in. And they're going to have to account for that if they're doing the payroll protection program. But all of these loans require some after effect accounting to make sure you can get forgiven and use the money properly.
Yep. Eric and I were talking about that as well, we've been talking about this notion of CPAs as trusted business advisors for years, for decades. And it's really never been more important than it is right now.
Absolutely. I think America needs these CPAs as trusted advisors who are able to help them see through this big fog of a storm. And
And any final words of advice for your members as this kind of relief process plays it out, or just in general as we're trying to see our way out the other side of this crisis?
So we just did a big town hall. We had 450 plus CPAs on there, both from the corporate accounting side as well as our public accounting. And I think there's two pieces of advice I would say. Number one is put your oxygen mask on first, I think was the thing that Rebecca Brown talked about, right? So you've got to take care of yourselves as CPAs to be able to take care of your clients right. And that means you have to be doing the right thing to get your heads up. I mean, we're getting fire hose with negative news right now, Bill, every day, 24 hours. I've never seen it this bad. And that means it's easy to get stressed out and become cynical and start to complain and all that. But we need clear-headed advisors right now to help these small businesses see through this. So put your oxygen mask on first. Take care of yourself. Work at your strengths. Eat right, sleep right, do all those things. But every day, kind of think, get yourself in a positive, strength-based mode. That'd be number one. Number two is we need to somehow spread some hope and optimism, as well as the resources coming from the federal level and state level. So I think we have to somehow do our best to pick up our teams and our small business clients and our companies and organizations and say, we can get through this together, because I think we can. And I think we have to continue that process of collaborating, thinking strategically. And for CPAs who tend to want everything buttoned down, we're going to have to be able to deal with a little bit of that ambiguity. And what I would say is make a decision about what to do. Document why you're doing it. And you can always fix it later. But like, get these loans approved. Get them applications in for your small business clients. Deal with a little bit of that ambiguity. We'll continue to clarify it every day that we see it. But make some decisions. Help your clients get through this storm the best you possibly can right now. And we'll be behind you.
Well, Tom, stay healthy. Stay at home. And thanks. This has been great.
You too, Bill. Same thing. Stay healthy. Stay home. And let's see you on the other side of this.
Good stuff there from Eric Askerson and Tom Hood. Eric, again, is president and CEO of CPA.com, which is the technology arm of the AICPA. Tom is president and CEO of the Maryland Association of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute. And listen, there are a ton of really helpful resources out there related to the Paycheck Protection Program. If you know where to look, here are a couple good sources. The AICPA has put together a pretty comprehensive set of resources, which you can find at bit.ly/PPP resources. That's bit.ly/PPP resources. The MACPA has vetted a bunch of reliable resources as well. You'll find those at macpa.org/COVID-19. And of course, the Treasury Department and the SBA are good sources of information as well. A bunch of their resources are listed on those AICPA and MACPA pages. Also, the AICPA has published its recommendations for documents that lenders are looking for as part of the PPP application process. You'll find those recommendations at bit.ly/PPP documents. Finally, as always, remember this podcast is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, that is, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses, just hundreds of them, by dozens of instructors, unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. Thanks for listening, gang. We will be back with another episode next week. Take care.